17 in the hymn book.
Greg leads and I'm kind of froggy for something. I don't know if it was the sandwich or what.
Maybe
when,
I don't know.
I'm froggy.
We'll take that. Tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's pray.
46.
46.
Sinners' ears.
more. He is able to deliver thee. Amen.
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 And soon he will, for this present evil world.
BBFOhio@protonmail.com. And if you're in the building, get yourself a prayer card.
Or you can email.
Well, I prefer you don't email so that I can get to the email ones. If you're in the flesh here, use a prayer card. Because it's not easy retrieving all the emails if there's several. But if you need a card, raise your hand. I'm sure that we got two, three.
You want me to still do it?
I'll bring them.
Jenny Miller would be happy to deliver fast, friendly, free delivery.
She's able to deliver.
We aim to please. You aim too, please. All right. Live stream volume is up. Camera is on and zoomed in. Been having my right arm cut off in some of our videos, so just make sure can you see my right arm over here?
Mostly out.
Okay.
Mostly.
I mean, I don't normally go like this, but I was like just standing. I have to check. It might have been the Sunday thing too. All right, we've done sound check. Sound good out there on the live stream. Let us know if you're on MeWe and you have any issues. We will do what we need to do. Mr. Rogers music to remind you to silence your cell phone. You can be turning to the book of James chapter 1 if you like. That's where we be. We have our June Chick Track project. The Only Hope is the title of the track, and we're actually down to 650, so we're getting those out. We have a few people. We mailed out a few track packets. Any of you folks online, out there in radio world, wherever you're at, if you want to give out some gospel tracks, we can do one of two things. We can mail you a pack of these out here. We can also send you a stamp, and we have several people around the country who stamp their own tracks. And every once in a while, I get angry emails. And I enjoy that. So any phone calls or emails or letters, I've gotten letters.
Where, why did you send me that?
Yeah, they'll send the track sometimes in the mail, and they'll say, don't send this to me again. And then they don't give any identification. They don't tell me who they are, where they live. So how am I supposed to stop? So
brilliant.
I do love to hear those stories. I've gotten calls from schools, libraries, you name it. It's great. But that's a great tract. If you go to chick.com, you can read it. All right, we'll get into the current events update. For those who didn't see me Sunday, a reminder, I have not shrunk, but I am sitting down. And just because I've been a little wobbly, and that's a long story, you don't want to hear all the details, but appreciate the prayers. And so far, Jenny hasn't had to pick me up off the floor. What are you trying to say? I'm fat?
No.
All right. Current events update. Tonight we're just going to do the 1, 2, 3, 4 headline reviews in the news. And that does rhyme, and I did it on purpose. Sodom marches on. You might have heard a comment Jenny made downstairs. It was in relation to this. This is Matt Walsh, and he did a video on the left wanting to normalize female facial hair. Now, there are reasons why women grow facial hair, genetic, hormonal, and they have a natural desire not to have that, so they do things to get rid of it, to bleach it, pluck it. Some people even shave, ladies shave it. Electrolysis, I think is what it's called. There's another thing they do. I can't remember what it is. But anyway, the idea is that if you look through human history, it's just been a thing. It's a natural thing. It's called nature. It's natural for a woman not to want to be as hairy as I am.
Amen.
And,
amen.
And it's now this generation has chosen to become brain dead and to say what's natural we're not going to follow anymore. We're going to be, like the Bible says, they're going to be against nature. And they're going to be without natural affections. So men are wanting to have sex with men, women with women. They're also getting into bestiality. Another thing is incest. It's becoming a thing. It's just going to get worse, folks. According to Jesus, it's going to get worse right up to the time he raptures us out and kills them all. And that's what's going to, and you know, that's just the reality. Why? Because God is holy. And God cannot and will not be in the presence of sin. If you want to go to heaven, you have to have your sins forgiven and be washed by the blood of the Lamb wearing His righteousness. Not your own, but you are clothed in His righteousness. That way you can go to heaven. Otherwise, you have to go to hell. And that's what this represents, is just rebellion against God. Now, if you ever see a woman who, like this person here looks like, maybe has some kind of issue, don't be mean about it. It's, you know, people can't help it. I mean, I can't help this. I mean, my face. I mean, I could shave, but I still have the same face. And so don't be mean to people about things they can't help. Through the years, a bearded lady was an attraction because it was a freak show.
Yep.
So, so I just, my response to that is, ugh. Then there's Burger King. Burger King mocks Chick-fil-A with donations to the sodomite LGBT group. I don't know. I'm not going to even say which one. Doesn't matter. For every chicken sandwich Burger King sells, they're going to make a donation promoting what God hates.
Oh.
And so.
I mean, across the street. Yeah.
Huh?
Am I allowed to talk? They had the picture of Ronald and the Burger King kissing, so we already knew they were.
Yeah, that's what I've been boycotting Burger thing for a decade now. And I'm not going to judge you if you eat Burger King, but you know, I especially wouldn't buy their chicken sandwiches if they're going to donate. But Burger King should be Burger Queer. That's what they become. That's their agenda. And by the way, I just want to test you on this. If when I say the word queer, if you jump and think that's a bad thing, you have troubles.
Right.
Because they call themselves queer.
Yeah.
And what that proves is you're falling under their control. They want to control you. They want to control what you think and what you say. They want to be able to say queer, but you're not allowed to unless you're one of them or you're an ally. Then it's okay. It's all about control, folks.
Yeah.
I got news for you. They're not going to control me. Queer, 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 queer.
Queer, queer.
And I'm telling you, there are people who email me and say, I won't listen to you because you call. I've used the word fag a couple of times through the years. You know what? They're fags.
Amen.
And they call themselves fags. You know who doesn't call them fags? Butt kissers. Bootlickers. People who are bowing to their agenda. I ain't going to bow. It's just amazing how many Christians, I'm talking about churches now, who are bowing.
It used to be a cigarette. There was an English cigarette.
Yeah, that's a fact. Here's another one. For years, they mocked us who said they're coming for the children. Now, they're not even being bashful about it. None of them being backward about it. Blue's Clues has a predatory LGBT parade video featuring a drag queen for the children.
Disgusting.
And listen, folks, God is going to kill these people if they don't repent.
Yes, that's right.
So don't you dare join yourself to him because he'll kill you too. Think about that. God says this is an abomination. That means it makes him want to vomit.
Amen.
And people today are applauding it. The whole month of June is called Pride Month. Not even if you don't want to talk about the gay thing. God says he hates pride, period. So they're not only embracing this perverted sex and all that it entails, but they're declaring their pride with a fist in the air toward God.
That's right.
Just amazing. It's the times we live in. I've warned of the gay vibe of this queer show for years, by the way, and people would make fun of me. Well, I feel a little vindicated. All the people making fun of me have probably gone so far away from God that they're probably all endorsing this right now. And number four. This is some good news. Got to end on a positive note. Court ordered Loudoun County School Board to reinstate a teacher suspended for Christian speech on LGBT. He refused to call a boy a girl and a girl a boy.
And good.
They fired him, and a Loudoun County judge has ordered they put him back on the payroll and give him his job back.
Amen.
It's going to get to the point where that probably won't happen. We're heading there, and one of the big reasons we're heading there is because of all the butt kissers. You say, you shouldn't talk like that, preacher. No, you should talk like that. We are dealing with wicked, nasty people, and if you don't think butt kissing is what's going on, you're not opening your eyes. It's exactly what's going on. And I intend on getting out of here only with people who stand with God. Anybody who doesn't stand with God, get the hell away from me and go to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
You make a choice. You repent and get right or burn in a lake of fire for eternity, and I'm not going with you. This country is going to burn. This country is going to be destroyed. And Christians are the one thing that's kept this country from going to hell because Christians used to take a stand. And now all the butt-kissing Christians are the reason why this country is going to hell.
Right.
Boot-licking, smooching, nasty, disgusting apostates. God says it makes me want to vomit. Who? the professing Christians. Go read it in Revelation chapter 3. It's professing Christians. He doesn't talk to the world and say that. He's talking to people in churches. Useless. And this is just FYI. The Sodomites will never be satisfied. We were told in the early 90s, if you just stopped picking on them. Well, everybody started putting them on all the TV shows and everybody on the news and in the entertainment. It became the big thing now. Everybody talked about how wonderful they thought being gay was. That wasn't good enough. The next thing was they had to have legalized marriage. Everybody says, well, we'll give them the legalized marriage and that'll take care of it. And what was that, 2013?
Huh? 16?
Or, huh?
I think it was, I don't know.
Look it up. I was thinking it was 2013.
Now they want the health and everything else.
Now they are going, they're pushing into everywhere now to this trans thing and going to try to force you to say a him is a her and a her is a him. And then they've already been trying to force you to allow men to go to the restroom in the same restroom with your little girls. And vice versa. And that will not be enough, folks. You bend over and kiss the rear end and let them do that. They'll be back for more next week. 2015. Kim, you win. You get a Twinkie.
Thank you.
So, it's a battle from here on out. Until we go up, it is a battle from here on out. Luke 6:22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. I've got my own flesh and blood doing that to me right now. And I am not going to turn around and bow to them.
Amen.
And I don't care who it is. And I hope you get that attitude. I hope it rubs off. You'll thank me when we get in front of the Lord. You may not feel good about it now because you're going to lose friends. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be the cool guy. You're not going to be the big cheese. You're not going to have all the Mr. Popularity. But when you get before the Lord, he's going to look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
You know what he's going to say to his other people? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.
Amen.
That's what you live for. Don't live for what these idiots think of you. We only have one high school age and a couple, three people we would call youngins in here today, right now. But on Sundays, we have a few more. We've got a few out there listening. I had a couple of guys in high school out there listening, and they go out on the streets and do all that, so it's great. But listen, you, and it goes for the old people too. I mean, I see people my age and older acting like they're still in junior high trying to get the approval of their friends and relatives. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
All right, comments and questions? Johnny, you had your hand.
Yeah, first. Is that the spelling of the word queer for sodomites there, so is that actually different from the other version?
No.
They're taking the whole word.
And one of their organizations called Queer Nation.
I thought one of them was E-A-R.
No.
Queer is a queer.
And
it always because one of my favorite books still uses that word for its original.
Oh, yeah. We were watching Mystery. Was it Murdoch? One of those mystery shows the other day, and it's based in the late 19th century. And they used a couple times. That's very queer.
Yeah.
Isn't that queer?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the word.
How queer.
I mean, the word gay. I mean, I'd love to take that word back.
Now
you look at somebody and say you're happy, and if you say, I'm gay, I mean, just get some looks. I'm gay and I don't care. Who knows? Just means I'm happy. Doesn't it? Jenny?
There's a little bit of feedback or like the static thingy noise. Have you guys noticed it?
I don't know. I can hear this
log out. Is it being complaints on there?
No, I'm just
okay. I'll turn it down a little bit. So
see some pretzels.
Janie?
Well, like I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, they had posted that the cartoon Rugrats. No,
that might help.
Mm-hmm.
They are taking the 1990 version and rebooting it to have a lesbian mother, single lesbian mother.
Rugrats.
Yeah.
Well,
it's getting bad everywhere. Kids can't even watch.
It's only
going to
get worse.
Amen. The positive thoughts just continue.
Cheer up. Things will get worse.
Well, the Bible says evil men shall wax worse and worse.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Well, you know, there's times where, you know, well, in history, I'm just trying to think of a good example. There's a number of examples where, you know, it looked like things were really bad and they were not going, you know, it just looked like the end was near for somebody. But they knew that whoever they were counting on was going to come through. And so they just didn't let themselves worry about it. Yeah, didn't go into a tailspin emotionally and all that. And then when it happened, they were just, you know, they were happy, but it wasn't even like they were shocked, you know. Well, that's, you know, I have studied this book for 30 years now. And I just feel sorry for anybody who doesn't have their faith in this book. There is nothing on the planet like it.
Second Timothy 3:13-15. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's just
sadly, most people don't share that experience, so they have to take it upon themselves, and most of you probably in this room, you have to take it upon yourself now.
Learn it.
And when you learn Bible prophecy, and I was talking to Nathan about this just a little while ago. All these books are always trying to tell you who the Antichrist is and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what the Bible clearly says, and then you just look and see the stage being set. And then you look and you see that every prophecy given prior to the second coming, 100%. Not a single one of them wrong.
That's right.
God has never got it wrong. God is batting 1,000. And so that's what you got to get through your head. Whose side do you want to be on? The guy who never loses? Or in the short term, be with the cool kids and all that today. Everybody pat you on the back about being, you know, whatever they want to call themselves now. I want to be on God's side.
Amen.
Even if you find yourself kind of alone. Mark?
Well, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 basically says where we're at in a nutshell. For in the last days, perilous times will come. Mm-hmm. And that means confusing. Mm-hmm. Where are we at right now? That is the first verse or passage on prophecy I read about 47 years ago in 1975,
yeah,
the year after I got saved.
And you think about from the time in the 70s and the 80s, the idea that our country would be like it is now.
You didn't even think about
it. They didn't even think it was possible.
Yeah.
And here we are. All right, well, let's open with prayer and get into our Bible study. And like I said, in James 1, Brother Jim, would you open Bible study prayer?
Lord, Father, we just ask your blessing over the service tonight. We thank you for what the pastors prepared for us, Lord. Pray we just open our hearts and minds to receive from you. That everything said and done will bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Oh, bridle the tongue. James 1, 26 and 27. One of the things I've talked about as we've studied James is how through the years, the preachers just kind of skip and jump through these verses and everything. But they also totally misapply it. And one of the things that I've probably the most I've heard this text used for is to preach about gossip, because that makes for a real easy target, made for a good altar call. And one of the problems with it was is they didn't even define gossip correctly. And so if you ever talked about somebody, was gossip. Well, I talk about you all the time. But the question is it gossip? Well, if I'm being malicious and I'm saying things, even if they're true, in a way to try to hurt your reputation or hurt you personally, or if they're just lies, gossip and slander goes hand in hand, then that's wrong. But, you know, I talk about you guys all the time. And, you know, I talk to the Lord, first of all. I pray for you guys. I pray for every one of you. But then we talk, you know, Doug and I, when he first came in, we start gossiping about Martha. Why? Because we care about her and we want to know what's going on with her, you know. And so don't get your definitions mixed up. You talk about somebody to exchange information so you know what's going on. You can pray for them. You may even be able to do something to help them. But if you're being malicious and that sort of thing, we'll talk more about it probably in later studies. But let's go ahead and read James 1, verses 26 and 27, and we'll get into our study. Read that with me. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen? So, a key to sound doctrine is knowing what the text says. Amen? And what it does not say. Keep that in mind as you're reading your Bible. It's not just what it says, but what it does not say. You know, people throw that interpretation word up a lot. Jenny was talking about somebody years ago who, what was it? Was that the one about heaven?
Oh, yeah. About eternal life, and he didn't believe in eternal life. And he said everybody's eternity is whatever they think it is. And so I said, well, my eternity, what if my eternity means you don't exist or you go to hell? What about that? And he just looked at me because I was telling him about the Bible, and he was speechless.
And something about, you know, it's all about how you interpret it.
Yeah, because it was about interpreting. Oh, you're talking about the other one.
There's another guy. He said he called God a she.
Oh, yeah. He said maybe she does or maybe she doesn't. And I said, no, the Bible says God is a he. He said, well, it depends on your interpretation.
Now, there's no interpretation required to see that the Bible calls him a he. Amen?
Yes.
And most of the time, the Bible doesn't need interpreted. You just need to see what does it say and you believe it. Well, you read it to see what it says, and then you simply believe it. Well, that's what we're running into today is a lot of people who simply, they don't even know what the Bible says. They don't read it. Then they'll try to quote it. They'll quote parts of it or out of context, and it doesn't do anything but cause confusion. So when you first think about it is know what the text says. Don't worry about interpretation. Figure out what it says, because most of the time, that's all the interpretation you need. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But you know, there's a group, a large and growing number of Christian universalists. And they'll say, oh, well, I don't believe Jesus is like the only way in the sense that you have to know who he is and be saved. And so they say, you have to interpret that right. I don't have to interpret it at all. I just have to believe what he said. He is the way.
That's right.
He is the truth. He is the life. Look at verse 26. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So what's it mean to bridle your tongue? That seems simple enough. Amen? Bridle your tongue. Well, James has more to say about the tongue later in his epistle, but let's look at it real quick, and we'll look at it again more in depth when we get there in James chapter 3.
Wait a minute. The camera just went off.
Is it plugged in?
No, that's it.
That's it.
I wasn't plugged in.
Glad you got that.
Why just
you have to
off?
Plug it in first. And after you plug it in, it'll...
So what? No, the strip wasn't off. That's
oh. Yeah, they don't need to turn that strip off. So if maybe Sean's doing that, you can... Hey, Sean, if you're out there, we don't turn the strip off. We'll put a note on it.
Okay, so how, wait, how, again, how far does your right hand need to be visible? Okay, good, yeah.
So James 3. Sorry about that, folks. One of the cameras turned off. James 3. Look what it says in verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. How many of you have been around a horse? Have you been on a horse without a bit in its mouth? That can complicate things unless you're, you know, Tonto. You know, someone who's used to riding a horse without it. But that bit in the mouth, and you don't have to yank it. Most of the horses are trained, so you just give it a little bit of a tiny bit of a, and then this way and that way. I'm not an expert, but I watch a lot of horse shows on TV. But that bit we put in the horse's mouths so that they'll obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And the same thing's true with ships. Verse 4, these huge ships. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great are driven of fierce winds, it's talking about sailboats, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Underneath the water is this little thing that's steering it. It's an amazing thing. Well, even so, verse 5, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Read verses 6, 7, and 8 now. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, you have to be careful because, especially, I'm just going to be honest with kind of in-house discussion here. Fundamental Christians is what we're called because we believe the Bible. The world loves to call you a fundamentalist because it kind of tags you with the fundamentalist Muslim tag, you know. But a fundamentalist in Christianity just means somebody who's supposed to believe the Bible. And holiness groups kind of tie in with this too. They create their own little world and their own language and their own ideas about what's proper and what's not. And so that causes problems because when they're reading the Bible, God gave us this word and he doesn't live in the same cocoon that a lot of us have been born and raised in. God uses words like piss in his Bible. That if in some places you say that they, you know, wash your mouth out with soap or smack you or something. And I think somebody said that Sunday while we were here. And I'm like, that's a biblical word, you know. but the word dung in your Bible is equivalent of our S word that I don't even say because people lose their minds. There's all these words that really God doesn't care about. What God does care about, though, is you don't use his name in vain. The word, the so-called F word, the reason that is actually being blasphemous and profane with the act, the sex act, that God says is sacred between a man and woman in marriage. So there are words that you shouldn't be saying as a Christian. And then, of course, if you know it's going to offend somebody, the other F word that is expelling gas. I can't say it because, like I said, some people, they'll go crazy. But I just got saved. I'd only been saved a short time, and I thought I was doing good because I wasn't saying the other F word. And I was in a room, something stunk. I'm like, oh, man, who blanked, you know? Who tooted? But I said that other F word. whole place stopped and looked at me. I was like, what? It wasn't me. But I found out afterwards that among that crowd, that other F word was almost as bad as the big F bomb, you know. So be careful about that. There are Christians who are around other Christians or other even unsaved people, and they'll lecture them on their language. And it's like, they're going to hell. Why does that matter? What you need to tell them is about Jesus and how to be saved, and then you can, you know, clean up their mouth if it need be after they get saved. Now, you know, I have to say this. I don't want to go off on all the rabbit trails and everything, but, you know, in a business, there is a professional etiquette, you know, that kind of thing. But with that said, what God is worried about in the text is the really serious abuse of the tongue. And the tongue can be used for blasphemy. It can be used to verbally abuse people and tear them down. You can walk into a crowded theater and yell fire, and people can get killed. I mean, the tongue can really be destructive. And let's deal with those things. Let's not be worried about, you know, we watched an episode of a show a couple weeks ago, and they didn't want their little kid to say the word butt. So they said bum or bottom. And like, it's the same thing. What is that? And they kind of came to that conclusion that they were making a big deal about nothing. But anyway, some of you got it. But they can't quit saying that word because I'm. However.
Thank you.
However. The important thing was for that little kid was they should know about Jesus.
Right.
And that little kid should know that you don't use God's name in vain. And that other F word that's profane. Not make such a big deal about those kind of words. I think a lot of fundamentalists need to get that clue. So we must bridle this dangerous member, the tongue. And there's a reason why tyrants hate free speech.
Yep.
The tongue. And street preachers have been powerful through the years. Even if they don't convert a lot of people, they've made a lot of people now accountable for having heard the message. And that's why Satan wants to cut your speech off. These satanic, devil-possessed people who run YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, they're just kicking off Christians left and right. And why? Because they're full of Satan. They're full of the devil. And they want to silence Christians. They allow pedophiles. They allow terrorists who want to kill Jews and threaten Christians. They allow all the scum of the earth on their social media. But they'll kick the Christians off. And call what you say is hate speech because you call sin what it is. And you call on sinners to repent. See? So this is what it must look like to the angels when some people talk. You think about the angels, they see a whole different other dimension than we do. And when some people talk, I think that's what the angels must see coming out of their mouths.
Yeah, that's good.
But our text speaks specifically of what we talked about previously, and that is the froward mouth or the froward tongue. It's not a misspelling. Froward. There's forward and then there's froward. Being forward and being, you know, aggressive can be a good thing, but froward, that's a different issue. Scripture with scripture, let's look at a verse in Proverbs. And while you turn there, I just want to let those who do not already know, we're doing devotionals every morning, just a 5-minute devotional Monday through Friday going through the Proverbs. And you can go on our website, bbfohio.com. There's a link for it. And then you can also sign up with Sermon Audio, and they'll send you a morning alert that it's up and remind you to listen to it, get your day started in the Word of God. But in Proverbs 10:31, are you there?
Yep.
Go ahead and read it. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. But the froward tongue shall be cut out. Ouch. That's something, isn't it? The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about, a tongue that is out of control. A tongue that lies. A tongue that speaks blasphemies, curses. But here's another one. Liars. I just said lies. If you ever look at a man and say, she, you have perverse lips. You have a froward mouth.
That's right.
Your tongue is going to get you in trouble with God.
That's right.
You look at a woman and call her he. That's why that Christian man got fired and thankfully was able to get his job back. But he refused to be a liar. That's what he told him. Yep. He said, I will not lie. I am looking at a man. I'm going to call him a man. He is a man, not a woman.
Amen.
Christians all over this country right now are liars.
That's right.
Your news media, all of them, all of them. I mean, OAN's the only one I know of that I can't put in that group. Even on Newsmax and Fox News and anyone you think is conservative, they'll have Bruce Jenner on there and call him Katie and call him or her. They're liars. You're a liar if you do that. That's what the world's full of right now. Here's examples of a froward tongue saying foolish things. All good people go to heaven. It's a lie. It's foolish. That's a froward tongue. Think of the preachers like Joel Osteen who got on national TV and told the world that all good people go to heaven. You know, I'm not going to say someone goes to hell if they don't believe in Jesus. I'm not going to say, I'm for you and I want you to know God's for you. You know, blah, 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 barf.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Spiritual vomit. All over the entire world through these international interviews he's done. Foolish things. Or just saying too much. Sometimes you can just say too much. People who pretend they don't drink coffee and can drink too much coffee and then they say too much. What? Why are you looking at me like that? I remember when I first got a job where I had to get up early in the morning and I would, you know, drink 3 or 4 cups of coffee. Man, you're feeling pretty good. I'd be like, yeah. I was working with this guy. And he's like, Greg, do you ever shut up? I'm like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. So sometimes it can be medications, you know. But there are those people, and I'll admit that there's times where I feel like I got myself in trouble because I just said too much. I do have to fight that. I have to be careful about that. Johnny?
Would an older word about that be rigmarole, perhaps, or is that something totally different?
I know that word, and I use it every once in a while, but I don't know if I use it like that.
Okay.
But you can just, someone, it's a serious example, but someone dies or someone's sick and on their deathbed or something bad just happened. Sometimes they don't need to hear this, you know? Sometimes you need to let them do this. And sometimes there just needs to be some silence. It's nothing wrong with silence sometimes. You know, knowing you're there sometimes is all they need. So it just takes wisdom, and none of us are perfect. I haven't met anybody that's perfect at it. Don't feel bad if you've done that, but just recognize it. Self-awareness. Doug?
I was calling the office for that reason there because I had drank several cups of coffee, and I started talking like Robin Williams. How you doing? Am I having fun? You know?
Yeah.
I was buzzing.
Yeah. So, you know, be wise and don't drink that much coffee. You know?
Amen.
Somebody over here have a hand up?
But okay. Rigmarole means a set of confused and meaningless statements.
So you can rattle on and become like rigmarole, yeah. And I've already asked, but any other examples anybody want to give real quick before we move on? What was that?
I don't know. I'm just thinking, I know I've experienced that before, like when I'm sleepy, like at a sleepover.
Yeah.
I had it where I talked way too much and said probably more than I should have and hoped that they were sleepy as well to where they told me.
So they what? Forget
so
about?
They forgot it. Like
forgot it.
Like maybe they were half asleep as well. Right. So they didn't even hear.
It's part of my job is telephone triaging symptoms.
Yeah.
And the forward tongue in healthcare would be you talking more than what the patient
can handle.
Talk.
Yeah.
And that leads to problems because they don't want you to do what it's, and you don't do it intentionally. But it's leading the patient.
Yeah.
And just
right.
Yeah. So, right. That's I mean, that's a really, I think, a good example.
Yeah. You have to withhold and know when
listen.
Know
what to say.
Yeah.
And then some people just want to vent too. It's like you said, you just need to be silent.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, it's become easier for me to do that in my later, now that in the last 15, 20 years. But I remember in the 90s, thankfully I had a couple of mentors, you know, and they said, now, they'd tell me before we go in, now, let me do a little talking here. That's something that they need, just one person talking. And plus he had 30 years on me. And actually, I'll just say this too. Anytime if you go out two by two, if you ever go to two people to talk to somebody about their soul, about being saved, you should let one person do the talking.
Right.
And maybe have a little signal, you know, you don't want to be sneaky about it, but just tell the guy, hey, if I just look at you and give you a little nod, you can jump in because I've run out of things to say, or it's something I can't answer. But let one person do the talking. Well, that's great advice because that's really good advice in life in general. Yeah.
So would, like, when you've had too much wine, so like your alcohol,
yeah.
So that would count, you would think?
Yeah, anybody under the influence. That's why I said medication. It's not just, I mean, alcohol isn't medication, but even legal medication can do that to you. And so the doctor puts you on something, you need to be aware that it can cause you to kind of become a little, yeah, Janie?
Yeah, I had this friend that I worked with some years back, and she kept talking, you know, and I was trying to do my job, you know, I'm paying attention and focusing on my job, and all of a sudden she just this. I said, you need to quit rattling on and get to work.
Yeah. Now,
and she looked at me like, what does rattling on mean?
But you can. See, some people can't talk and work at the same time, and I don't mean that to be mean. I just mean there's some people can't do that. Now, when I worked, I could, especially most of the jobs I had, I could work and talk at the same time. But the other person would have to get up and just stand there next to me and talk, which meant they weren't getting any work done. Because I'd say, you know, you probably ought to work and talk at the same time or you're going to get in trouble. But they couldn't do it. It's just a skill they didn't have or whatever. Now, I'm on the computer doing my thing, and, you know, a lot of what I did was data entry, even though they didn't call it that. And all I had to do is make sure I had stuff in there right, and I got good at it, and I could say, yeah, hear what happened, here's what happened. You know? But staying busy made the day go faster, so I didn't want to stop working. Plus, I work as under the Lord, and it pleases my boss. So, but if you can't work and talk at the same time, that's an example where you need to bridle your tongue and just tell people, I can't do this. I can't work and do this at the same time. We have to talk later. It's all according to the person, the situation. So just a little reality check before we get toward the end of our study here. But content and quantity is the issue, not silence. This is not saying to be silent.
Yeah.
It's about the content of what's coming out of your tongue and the I could say quality too, but quantity. You don't always have to say a lot. What you say is important. So content and quality. I could have said quality and quantity both. Be careful what you're saying, and then be careful how much you say for the various reasons we've already listed. That's the message here in James 1. Go back to our text. It's saying, if any man among you seem to be religious, but you can't control the content of what you're saying. You can't control the quality of what you're saying. You can't control the quantity of what you're saying. Then you got to recognize there's something wrong here. Something wrong with your heart. And I'm trying to emphasize that because too many people are silent. And that's not what the Bible is ever calling you to do, is to be silent. disobedient Christians abuse such passages in order to ignore things like Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it doesn't mean you're always going to be nice and sweet. If you've read Matthew 23, we've been going through Luke 11. If you read some of the things Paul said to people, and he was very blunt, very sharp. He even says, he wrote to Titus, some rebuke them sharply. So there is a time for that. It all has to do with wisdom. Or another passage, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. How are you going to do that if you're not speaking?
Yep.
Rebuke. How you do that without talking? Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So obviously we're not told to be silent. Self-control and control of the tongue, and what really the better word is spirit control. Allow the Spirit of God to control your tongue. I want you to look at this in Acts 9. I could run numerous references, but just to give you a little idea of what I'm talking about when it comes to Paul. I've been told through the years by people who, I'm just honest with you, their Christian walk, Christian life is pretty useless. But they like to tell everybody else how it's done. And they've told me, you know, that the way I preach and preaching so hard against sin and calling on people to repent of things like being involved in the homosexual thing or adultery or lying or drunkenness or whatever. You're not going to win people like that. Well, you know, that the Bible only uses the term win people on a couple of occasions. What God lays the importance on is you being faithful to the word and preaching the truth in love. You love them enough to tell them the truth.
Amen.
So what do we see in Paul here in Acts 9? Says, then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, and they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. This is the Apostle Paul. The other apostles just still don't believe he's a real deal. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him. That's all in Acts 9 earlier. And how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Now read verse 29 with me. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. I had someone tell me one time, it's a sin to be disputing with people. I said, you're kidding. No, it's a sin. You shouldn't be disputing with people. I turned over here and said, then Paul was sinning? It says he disputed against the Grecians. It's not a sin to dispute.
Right.
We need more disputing. I mean, you don't have to flame throw, but you just dispute. You say, they say Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. You dispute that.
That's right.
They say Jesus was not born of a virgin. You dispute that. They say Jesus wasn't God in human form. You dispute that. They say you have to work in order to be saved, and it's not by grace through faith alone. You dispute that. And anything that goes against the Bible, you should be disputing. Now, you have your personality, your vocabulary, your, you know, whatever. You have your way of doing things. But as long as you are being faithful to the word and disputing false teaching and false ideas, you're doing the right thing.
Amen.
Look over verse 30 says, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now, there's another verse in there. Let me see. I want to jump to it. No, that's it. I think I meant to say 29 there. So back to the text. Oh, no, that's where I was going. There's another place. Acts 17, just a few pages from where you're at.
Acts 17 and verse 11 is whether the Bereans were more noble because they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And then you go down to verse 16 and it says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. What did he do? Read verse 17 with me. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. That Paul was the type of guy who people would have said he's argumentative, he's discordant, he causes trouble. Read that verse. He's disputing in the synagogue. He's disputing with devout persons. He's disputing in the market daily. He's constantly disputing. Why? Because he's constantly confronted with error. That's where you and I live right now. We're practically in Athens. So you better be prayed up, fueled up with the Word of God, and disputing. If not, you're derelict in duty. AWOL. If Christians were to be silent, then Paul wasn't a very good Christian.
Yep.
And in our context, it's Webster's 1828 has this definition. The bridle is a restraint, a curb, a check. That's not silence. That's control. And so religion, as in practical religion, it's if any man seemed to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. So it's an if-then scenario we were just reading about. It doesn't cost you your salvation, but it destroys your witness and your effectiveness. I mean, if you don't bridle your tongue, it'll ruin any of your attempts to be able to reason with people and lead them to the Lord.
Yeah, and to your point about speaking, you know, if we have our guide and our curb and our restraint is the Holy Spirit, then Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everything.
Yeah, I had a lady get upset with me, and she, because she, we'll just put it this way, she got involved in a conversation she didn't know what it was about, and I wasn't yelling, screaming, or anything like that, but I just said something to the guy. I'm not giving it away because there's a chance the woman still watches. I don't know. But she threw that text at me and basically said that I wasn't, I don't even remember how she said it, but basically like I wasn't even fit to be a pastor because I didn't follow that scripture. Now read it again.
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt.
She only saw the grace part.
Salt can sting.
Salt stings. Yep. It doesn't just season in the sense of giving it a good flavor, but it actually gives a sting. So there is a time for that. So then verse 27, pure religion and undefiled is before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction would seem obvious, but how many Christians actually do this? Again, I don't know what you do with your days, but if you know somebody who is shut in, if you know somebody who's in a hospital and you can get in to see them, that's an issue now that we didn't have to talk about before. In a nursing home, like with Sister Martha, it's going to be a couple of weeks before anybody can see her. But when you can, someone in jail, you know somebody in jail and you can get to see them, you know, anytime, visit the fatherless and widows. Now, the fatherless thing, the government's ruined. it's hard to have any influence on kids without a family. Foster care is trying to weed out all the Christian parents, you know, and that kind of thing. But you're only responsible for what you can do. And so if you can, you ought to. And then it says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We are in the world, not of it. How many of you have never heard that before? In the world, not of the world. You have to be in the world.
but you don't have to be of the world. Fill in the blanks here. Unspotted from the world. What? How would you describe that? How would you explain that? Unspotted from the world.
Blameless.
What's that?
Blameless.
Blameless, but give like real examples of what exactly that means. I'll give you one, a real easy one that you can take there. I don't believe Christians should be clubbing.
Right.
Christians, it's especially among Christian women, younger Christian women especially. They think it's all right to go clubbing. So they go to these places and it ends up in disaster. Okay. It's nothing but flesh. They end up drinking, as we just talked, you know, and they do things they shouldn't be doing. Not that you do that. You mentioned that. But that's an example. Jim?
They'll be unequally yoked in your marriage.
Amen. That's another big one. That we should have, like, what is that, the survey says? Because that would have been right up at the top there. Yeah, Brian?
Don't give your time, money, and attention to those businesses that are anti-biblical.
Yeah.
That's
no
right.
Facebook, no YouTube.
Yeah.
Don't use it, don't buy it.
And I always say, you know, I although you all know how I feel about those social media, I think I said that earlier. But there are a few people who still are on there because they say their family's there or whatever. I'm not the judge and jury, but I had that same question and I gave it up.
Amen.
Because, you know, we are making our enemies rich so they can defeat us. And we also are giving them control over what we say. We are slaves to these social media sites. So I encourage anybody, if you're on those, to get off of them. But that's one good way of being unspotted from the world, is getting away from that. And then you get on something like we're on MeWe, and we have good Christian fellowship, and you know, it's a whole different world.
I should probably should add, you know, go to the alternatives.
Yeah, MeWe is one of them.
Alternatives.
Yeah, and that's
when there are.
Gab, the CEO of Gab, started going all anti-Israel and anti-Jew and everything, and ruined his. Yeah, we've shared that last week on current events, I think. And so it's hard to find a good alternative. But I'll tell you this, I'd rather not be on them at all than to be supporting the enemy, you know. Janie?
Don't give in to charities that are not legit.
Yeah, that's another good one. And what I want to specify with these things is, you know, ignorance is not an excuse. If you go back and you read the Old Testament, for example, they were sacrifices for sins committed in ignorance. They're still called sins, even though they were done in ignorance. You have a duty as a believer to learn God's word so that you are aware of these things, but also to know the world you're in. And like United Way, I mean, United Way takes your money and supports anti-Christ causes. So, Jenny?
Sticking to your guns / standing up for God in the workplace.
You got your hand covered.
Oh, sticking to your guns or standing up for God in the workplace,
yeah.
Like for teachers.
Or the being unspotted from the world would include also not joining in with the crowd at work when they are supporting the wrong things. And, you know, been a couple of times where I stopped eating lunch with certain people for that reason, you know, that kind of thing. So these are all things. The reason I left it like that is because it's not something I really answer for you. This is something you and the Holy Spirit in prayer, He has to lead you to make decisions about how you remain unspotted from the world. There are some obvious examples. I think clubbing is one of them, as I mentioned. But there are other obvious examples that we could go on and on about. Now, our final reference, though, is just a page over from where we're at, about what God says about the world and being unspotted from the world, is right in James chapter 4 and verse 4. James 4:4. Read that. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's what enmity with God means. You're an enemy of God. He gives you the definition and explanation right there in the verse. Friendship with the world is enmity. To be a friend of the world is to be the enemy of God. Don't let this world infect you. That's the big thing. The world will infect you. Talk the talk and walk the walk.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
All right, that's where we'll close our study, James 1. Musicians, come forward. We're going to sing a song as we close. The Unclouded Day, by request. Page 30 in your praise book. Page 30, The Unclouded Day. If you can, stand.
Rest of the week,
serving the Lord as